Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, Episode 97. Today the Amateur Traveler goes to the Seychelles with a stop on the way in Dubai.
I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Oh no.
15-hour flight, oh. I don't think I'll ever be coming home. You know I love it. I got to see one more. I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. I have two quick news stories for you today. The first is just a quick reminder of the contest that we're having here for the second anniversary of the Amateur Traveler. Check out the contest details at the link I'll put in the show notes, but you need to identify all 8 pictures in the Amateur Traveler logo to win a new Amateur Traveler travel poster. Send your entries to host@amateurtraveler.com. The second story is a little bit self-serving, and that is to tell you that it is now time for the 2007 Podcast Awards nominations. And if some of you were interested, you could go to podcastawards.com and nominate this show as your favorite travel show. That would be nice. I'd like to welcome to the show Kadri and Özlem, who are listeners of the show. Actually, we had talked about getting together when I was in Istanbul, which is where you two are living, and they're coming on the show to talk about a recent trip to the Seychelles. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having us.
It's so nice to finally talk and get a chance to have your voice on the show. I know we've been chatting on the discussion boards for at least a year at this point.
Yes, almost a year.
So you went to the Seychelles. I'm not sure that everybody even knows where the Seychelles are. So let's start with that, and then why you went there.
Okay, Seychelles are a little bit south of the Ecuador. Like when you go up to the north from Madagascar, and when you go to the east of Africa, it's in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Okay.
And like it's famous with its beaches. Like it's a very wonderful place to take pictures, and it's a very romantic place. And we went there for our honeymoon.
Well, congratulations.
That's why it's romantic.
Thank you.
I forgot to congratulate you first off. I knew you were going for your honeymoon.
Yeah.
And you picked the Seychelles because of their romantic, I assume.
So we like to travel, and it's like Europe for Americans, it might be something different, but for us in Turkey, it's not like very interesting place for honeymoon. So we were looking for somewhere more authentic and more romantic. And Seychelles was the perfect place, I guess.
And I'm assuming that it's relatively easier to get to from Istanbul.
Yeah, actually, yes. Usually there are a lot of flights to Seychelles from Europe. And there are a lot of flights from England, from France, from Italy. But for us to do that, we had to go back to west and come back to east. Instead, like we did make another connection from Dubai.
Oh, from Dubai, okay.
From Dubai, United Emirates. We did spend one day on the way over there. And on the way back, we did spend 20 hours in the airport.
I didn't realize you had spent that long in Dubai on the way there. So let's talk about that also. Of all the whole trip, first of all, let's start with the highlights. What really stands out for you of the whole trip, both from Dubai and the Seychelles?
For Dubai, it was the visa issue, because although we are also living in Turkey and we are Muslim, at the beginning they didn't give the visa to Özlem because she was a single woman. And they didn't give the visa until the last day we did brought them our marriage certificate.
Why wouldn't they give her a visa because she was a single woman?
Still, it's an Arabic country and they are giving problem to give visas to the single women.
Huh. It's just not considered proper for a single woman to travel?
Alone, probably, yeah. I know that there was that problem in Saudi Arabia or those countries, but we didn't expect it to be in Dubai, in United Arab Emirates. But still, like, they said, okay, there's no problem, just get married, and you got 2 days after that onto the flight, and you need to brought us the marriage certificate, we will give you the visa.
Huh, interesting. And obviously, this is not something that Turkey, although also an Islamic country, that's a very foreign thing to you, that you wouldn't be able to get a visa.
Yeah, like, we are not an Islamic country, but, like...
Oh, sorry, a country, a secular country, who most of whose members are Islamic.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know better.
Yeah.
We know.
Interesting.
And on the way back, we came back from Dubai via Emirates Airlines, and the visas that they give is only for one entry.
Oh, really?
And they say on the way back, you can get the visa from the airport. There's no problem. You can get a transit visa up to four days.
Uh-huh.
And what was interesting, when we come back to the airport, they said, did you forget? Like, at least 4 or 5 people confirmed this. We went to the immigration. They said, no problem, everybody. And when we came to the airport, they said, yeah, there's only one catch. You have to have room reservation for one night.
You have to have a room reservation for one night, and you're only there for 20 hours. Oh, no.
Yes.
So you were thinking you wouldn't have to stay in the airport for all 20 hours.
Yes, we were.
But you were stuck.
We were stuck.
Oh, gee.
And they said they can make a reservation for us only for 220 euros.
Oh, gosh.
And, like, it was some kind of rip-off because we stayed in a very nice hotel on the way going to Seychelles, and we were giving only $100 for a night for both of us. So. It felt like they were ripping us off, and we said, okay, we are going to spend the day in the airport. So it's like a shopping mall anyway. Up to 10 hours into the airport, it's bearable, but like 20 hours is too much.
20 hours is too much, yeah.
You know, Chris, maybe we can make another podcast. Just includes how to survive in Dubai airport.
How to survive in Dubai airport.
Yeah. We experience well.
I'm not sure that there's quite the draw for that. Hopefully there aren't a lot of people who are looking for that. But
there was a line before us, and we saw a lot of people who were stuck the same way. Like, there was an American guy just before us, and he was saying, I have only 7 hours in Dubai. Like, make a reservation at a cheap hotel and don't even give me the name of the hotel. I'm going to pay for it, like you were saying. But they were saying, no, we have only 5-star hotels. And This is the rate. Even if you don't go, you have to pay for that if you want to get into Dubai.
Interesting. Like,
actually, what they didn't tell and what we could do before if we knew that is we could make a reservation for an hotel in the internet, any hotel, the cheapest one, and we could get into the Dubai.
Ah, okay.
That was the catch, but nobody told us that. Like, that's
right. If you had known it ahead of time, interesting.
Like, we did talk to many people. We did talk to immigration before going to Seychelles, and they said no problem. And on the airport, they said, there is a catch. You need a one night hotel reservations over here, paid hotel reservations.
Let's get back to what are the positive highlights of the trip.
Okay.
And I'm guessing it's not the 20 hours in the Dubai airport.
Actually, it was one of the best airports that we ever spent time.
Oh, well, that's good.
And the restaurants was very good, but doing the same thing and again, like, it was a terminal movie. Like, there was a movie with Tom Hanks, The Terminal.
Oh, sure.
Like, we felt like we were playing in that movie, that they like doing the same thing again and again. But that's it. Dubai was very nice. It was hot, but it was very nice.
Say it was hot, how hot is hot?
Actually, it was around 38 degrees Celsius when we are here.
38? Well, that's not too bad.
It was over 40 in Dubai because we were trying to find one of the shopping malls. And we said, we can walk. And we walked like a mile or so, and we were very bad shape after a 1 mile walking. So we said, we need to take a taxi. And I should say, maybe you should take a taxi or do something, but not walk under the hot sunshine, because it's really hot. If you are coming from the Europe, you are not used to that hot weather. So you should better take a taxi or take some kind of vehicle, but not walk around during the daytime.
Okay. And then for my American listeners, just for those of us who are Celsius impaired, 40 degrees Celsius is about 104 in Fahrenheit. Yeah. So over 40 is pretty darn hot.
Yes,
very hot. On the map, the distances look very short within the city center. But like when you try to walk, it's very long. There's only taxis that you can get connection.
And Dubai is an interesting looking place because it's this very, very modern, obviously in the desert on the coast.
They just duplicated what Singapore did before. Mm-hmm. They started a trading city over there. Mm-hmm. And on the airport, we saw that there was some similar city was being built in Oman. And another was in Saudi Arabia. So like they became a role model to those countries around there also.
And is there anything particularly that stands out from the Dubai part in terms of if you had 20 hours, for instance, in Dubai and you could get out of the airport, what would you go see? What's the biggest attraction?
The place with the Sail Hotel, the place was Jumeirah, and the name of the hotel was Burj Al Arab.
Burj Al Arab?
Burj Al Arab is the name of the hotel.
Burj?
And Burj Al Arab. It's the famous hotel who looks like a sail ship.
Ah, okay. I know the one you're talking about now. Okay.
Okay. And like Jumeirah is the name of the beach where it's placed, but it takes like 1 hour from the city. So on our 1 day on the way to Seychelles, we didn't have time to go there. We were planning to go there on the way back.
Oh,
but
no.
We missed it. another time. If we don't get stuck again in airport.
Let's move on to the Seychelles then. Did it live up to the romantic experience you're expecting? Let's start with that.
Yes, it did. Actually, Zem didn't know where we were going until we went into the check-in in Dubai airport.
Yeah, okay. It was a surprise to me because I make the choice for conditions. I said, I want a beach, I want a hot weather, I want to swim, and I want a romanticism. So the cadre picked the Seychelles for us. It was a surprise for me.
So you didn't know that that's where you were going?
No. We went to checking desk.
That would never work with my wife.
And I said, okay, I want to know now because we are going to get in the plane. I want to know. And he said, okay, we are going to Seychelles and here are the guidebook. You can just, study on the plane and we are going to Seychelles. So it was just a surprise to me and I enjoy a lot. I think it was the greatest honeymoon that we can get it.
Can you describe the Seychelles for us? It's relatively flat, is my understanding.
Actually, Seychelles are there are two kinds of islands over there. There mm-hmm. are some atolls, like three group of atolls.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
And what they call inner islands, those are granite rock islands over there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't actually find Seychelles until 783.
Hmm.
Nobody found them. Like they were just in the middle of the ocean. And later on, French found it, and it was a place for the pirates. It was a big pirate settlement in Indian Ocean. Finally, French took the islands over from the pirates. And beginning of the 20th century, England took it over, or end of 19th century, took it over from French. So all the people was brought from Africa as slaves.
Hmm.
And there is a mixture of the language that they are talking is Creole, which is a mixture of French, English, and African languages.
Okay.
It's like a broken French.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody speaks perfect French and English. We didn't have any problem with communication at all. It was a very nice place. Like, actually, many people know Seychelles from the pictures because Sur Sargent is the beach with the most taken pictures in the world. Like, everybody going there are taking pictures, and I guess from the internet, from your desktops, you know the place. Like when you see, you say, I know that place, but it's some place that you never go because it's far away. It's one of those far away magical lands that you know that there is somewhere, but you never gone.
As I said, I'm not sure that most people could even find the Seychelles on a map if challenged to do so. And what about the Seychelles? The beaches are, I'm assuming, sand beaches. And the water is warm and...
They are white sand beaches, and the sand is very fine. and there are like palm trees over there, mm-hmm. like coconut trees
all over
the islands, and mangrove trees, I guess. Like they are covering all the islands. Like it's a perfectly tropical. The hotels are not too big. Maximum is, I guess, for a couple of hundred people. In some of the small islands, there are small hotels where there's only two villas or three villas. But like we stayed in the second and third biggest island, and we had to connect from the first biggest island, which is the capital, mm-hmm. and which is Mahé.
But then you stayed on the second biggest island?
Yeah, we went to Prastin through Mahé, and after from Prastin, we went to the Ladik, which is also a very nice island, which is the third big island, I guess. And we make a small trip, one-day trip, where we saw a couple small islands also, but where we stayed was in Prastin and Ladik.
Okay. And then you know that since you listened to the show,
yeah.
that I usually ask, what is it that the tour books recommend that's a little disappointing and such? So, and I'm going to ask this a little differently, because both of you didn't have the same amount of time to study the tour books on this trip. So, Özlem, you had all flight to study the tour books. Was there anything that you got there and you thought, well, the tour books thought it was a really big deal and it was not worth the time?
We arrived to Mahé from Dubai, and at the first day, we flew from Mahé to Prastin.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have a chance to see Mahé until the end of our vacation.
Okay.
And at the last day, we went to Mahé. And when you look around, you see the real city over there, and you don't really feel the tropical islands.
Okay.
And there are some beaches on Mahé, but I can say that Mahé is not the best place to stay because it's just a city. And there are some beaches around, but it's not the best one. And I can say that if you want to stay in a nice island and just enjoy with the weather and the beaches, you can just go to the other islands, but not stay in the Mahé.
So Kadri did a good job in not booking you to stay in there. It's very good. Okay.
Yeah.
And then how about the opposite? Things that you discovered maybe by talking to the locals that you didn't ever see in the guidebooks that people shouldn't miss?
First of all, in Prastin, there was a beach called Ans Lazio. Actually, Ans means beach, I guess, in Creole language.
Okay.
And all the beaches start with the name Ans. Ans Lazio was the best beach we ever saw in, like, we have been, like, to 7 to 10 beaches, but it was the perfect beach.
Okay, and what makes a perfect beach for you?
The thing is, on the other beaches, like, it doesn't get deep very well. Like, you have to walk a lot, and it gets up to your chest maximum.
Okay.
And in Ans Lazio, it was getting deeper, like, it was perfect for swimming, but there was no big waves or some problem for some danger.
Okay.
Because like when we were there was a lot of tide, and they told us not to go to some of the beaches.
Oh, because of rip tide.
It was dangerous. Yeah, there was a lot of rip tide, and also there was an earthquake in the middle of the Indian Ocean somewhere. There was no a tsunami or any problem, but the tide was very high. It was like a bitter weather without wind, like bad weather without wind.
Okay.
And Ans Lazio, it's very far from the hotels and the city center. And you have to take a bus or rent a car to just go there. And there is a one small restaurant. So you can just go and enjoy the beach. And if you want, you can eat the lunch over there. And you can just come back at evening.
Okay.
So it's pretty quiet. And when we were there, there were a small touristic bus. And, you know, if you arrange some schedule or so, you can just get the touristic bus to go up there and just enjoy with the beach and just eat the lunch over there.
So the picture I'm getting is just tropical paradise.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And so the kind of person who should go to the Seychelles is somebody who just really needs some time to relax or a romantic vacation.
Exactly. There was no one else than couples or the families. Like, we never saw some solo traveler.
Interesting.
So before getting married, I was a solo traveler, and I think I would get bored over there because there was no nightlife at all.
Okay.
Like, in the restaurant, you eat your dinner, and it's a quiet night, all nights. But view was fantastic, and I went up one morning to take pictures when the sun was getting up, and everything was fantastic, the weather, the sand. in one of the biggest beaches, like when we were getting into the swimming, like, there was maximum 40, 50 people, but the beach is like 5 kilometers long or 2 kilometers long.
So 40, 50 people and 5 kilometers of beach. Okay.
Yeah, like you can spot people from far away. And we were there, like on Sunday, it was like doubling the amount of people or tripling, but it doesn't bother you at all because
it's always
quiet. It was very nice. Like if you are a party people, don't go there.
Party people don't go there, okay?
People don't go there. But if you want a quiet and relaxing time, it's the perfect spot.
I'm anxious to see some of the pictures you took from there. That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Anything else we should tell people before they go to the Seychelles?
Yeah, like one thing is a couple things that we did not like. First of all, about the money exchange, all the guidebooks tell you to change the money in the banks. So with the receipt, you can change it back to American dollars or euros on the way back. But if you change it on the black market, which is everywhere. Every single people is changing, not every single people, but like 95% of the population is changing money. And when you walk on the street and when they see that you're at risk, everybody comes and they ask you if you want to change money. But there's no hassle. When you say, okay, not today, they say thank you and they go away.
Okay, all right.
But like when you change the money, like you can change for the double of the price, one American dollar to 5 Seychelles rupees, but on the black market it's 9 Seychelles rupees. Or like 9 euros, it's 7 to 12, like the ratio.
I just have this picture of the guy who's going to sell you the watch at the same time. Okay. Change money on the black market. I believe that's the first time we've ever recommended that on this show.
And one more thing, like if you are not from England, don't rent cars. We did rent only for one day. We had a small accident. And the problem is that they are not giving insurance when you rent the car. And they are more than happy when they see you making an accident. And the traffic is from the English side. Like they are driving on the left side of the road instead of right.
Okay.
So if you are not used to that, some other people rented a car the night before from a hotel. And they made an accident. And they overcharge you and they just wait for you to make an accident. So they are more than happy so they can charge you.
Okay. Is it easy to get around not driving? You said took the bus, for instance, out to the beach. It's the transportation system is fine. You don't really need to get a car?
If you go to the Praslin, which is the second bigger island in Seychelles, you can take a public bus because the buses, public buses around the islands, or you can rent a bicycle if you really trust your energy. You can rent a bicycle.
Well, how large is the island when you talk about renting a bicycle?
It's very hard to go all the way around the island maybe by bicycle if you are in Praslin. But if you want to just go from the beaches to another one, you can go, it's okay. But if you are in
It's a couple Lade, kilometers or 10 kilometers?
The island is around 4 miles wide and 2 miles deep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah,
all right.
Not too bad.
Got it.
Like, if you want to go around, it will take you like 6-12 miles in total.
Okay, that's not bad.
But if you go to Ladik, which is the fourth bigger island in Seychelles, you cannot find a bus or else because even the locals, they all ride a bicycle around the island. Then there are not hills or the higher places, so you can just ride a bicycle easily. These bicycles have all, you know, the baskets in front of them, so you can just carry your stuff. And we already saw the tourists, they are carrying their childs in the baskets when they're riding a bicycle, which is very nice. And I think there are ox carts.
Ox carts, okay.
Yes, it's like a different kind of a taxi because it says taxi. And when we arrived to Ladik, and we didn't know how to carry our luggages, and we forgot to call the hotel to get, you know, some help. So we saw this ox truck, and we said, are you a taxi? He said, yeah, let's, you know, I'm going to take there. It's okay. So we just, you know, get in it, and this ox cart with, the, you know, he took us to the hotel. It was pretty amazing. Actually, I think we already downloaded the pictures on the website, so you can see me on the ox cart. But for the Latic,
now,
the
that doesn't sound like it's going to be really fast.
No, not at all, trust me.
So this is sort of a way of setting your expectations of slow down and get into the pace of the islands. Okay.
Definitely. But the bicycle is the one of the best choice.
Okay. Anything else we should say as we wrap up this show about the Seychelles and how not to spend 20 hours in the airport of Dubai?
Okay, one thing, like, you like food a lot, I do also. And in Preston, Gelateria De Luca has got the best ice cream cups.
Oh my God.
The best ice cream cups.
They shouldn't miss it. And another thing is, like, they warned us about the safety while getting into the sea in Mahé. And I did read it in some of the guidebooks also. They were saying in some parts of Mahé, but in all parts, they are warning you about your items, even your sunglasses or everything can be stolen when you are at the sea.
Sure.
But in the other islands, there's no security problem at all. Like, I had my camera with me and everything, like, was swimming. There's no people, actually, to steal at the first.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Like,
and so there was no problem. And as I'm said, Preston was very nice. Ladik was very, very nice. And I know that Silhouette Island, even I haven't been there, was a place that many people choose to go, but I cannot comment on that because I haven't been there. Mm-hmm. And the food is over there. It's the seafood. It's
oh, my God. Great.
Perfect. There's no meat. There's only chicken and fish. And, like, they are using a lot of fruits as vegetables on the dishes, as they are rich on that.
And you know
yes,
what?
You sent me a few pictures of fruit from the Seychelles.
actually, the picture that you sent was coco de mer. It's an interesting... They were finding those coco de mers over in India before. Okay. And they didn't know where it was coming. And they were thinking that there was some kind of coconut tree which was growing within the sea. And it was its fruits. Then when they did find out Seychelles, that they did find out that this was the only place that it was growing. And, like, there are tons of legends about that. And this is the only place it grows, and it's forbidden to take them out of the country. Huh. So you can only take pictures, or they empty it, so you can take it only the outside of the coconut. Also, one more thing is about the transportation between the islands. From Mahé to Preston, there's a fast ferry called Cat Cocos, and they are very proud about it because it's very fast. Like, it's similar to the sea buses in Istanbul, but over there it's a good transfer opportunity because, like, it takes only 50 minutes to 1 hour to get to Mahé to Preston with that one.
Okay.
And also there are small ferries, other ferries, which takes half hour between Preston and Ladik. Also, you can take flight, but there is a problem with flight reservations because what it is, like, you cannot get reservations through the internet and you cannot get reservations from another travel agent in your country.
Oh, okay.
So somehow I did manage to send them an email and they made our reservations and we did bought the tickets at the last minute. And it might be some problem with that one.
Okay, so you can't do it ahead of time. Well, you can't do it online, but you can do it through email.
Yeah, you can do it through email. Like, so if you want to take a trip, like a plane trip between the islands, you have to arrange it ahead of time.
Okay.
Because, like, the sending emails and everything will take some time.
I'm going to interrupt the show at this point because this was the original end of the show, but what happened was we kept talking and Kadri and Özlem kept telling interesting stories, so I finally turned back on the tape recorder. Unfortunately, I turned it on in the middle of a story about the tortoises of the Seychelles.
You can pet them, and they follow you. Like, they are like small dogs, huge tortoises. It was interesting.
These are the tortoises?
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
These are the tortoises.
And where did you go that you were seeing tortoises? Is that just around, or is there a special place? Or
actually, there was 4 or 5 tortoises in our hotel in
Preston
also.
Yeah.
Oh, just in the hotel?
Yeah, they had four of them at the backyard. And one morning, we heard some weird noises.
Like an ox.
And so we said, what is this? So,
and you just thought it was a taxi.
Yes, and we found them. And they were in a very special position at that time that I don't want to really say it right now.
They were on their honeymoon.
They were on the honeymoon.
They were on their honeymoon, okay.
You know, you can see this weird nose like oaks, and, you know, we just discovered
how noisy they can be. Also, like, we went to the Kurils Islands, where there is a national park, and in the national park, they are keeping the tortoises, and they are feeding them, and there is a mark on them, like, ones that they keep on the island, and also we saw a couple others, you know, without the marks, which were following us on the tracks. There was a one-mile hike over there.
And the marks are just so that they can track the tortoises?
Yeah, they can track the, yes.
Okay. Yes.
And like, there was a lot of turtles over there, and it was the same day that we went to the snorkeling trip. If you can record this, you can give some tip to the travelers who can go to the Seychelles, because we learned it from the locals.
Okay, what was that?
When you swim, always bring with you some sandals that you can go into the sea with it and swim with them, because like in the beaches other than Lazio, there are small pieces of rocks and something that they can get into your feet. It doesn't make it bleed, but like it hurts.
So swim shoes or something like that?
Swim shoes something like that is perfect, because within the sand you cannot see where you are stepping. And in some of the beaches, like in the...
Ladik especially.
Yeah, you need them, and you don't see what is into the sea, because it's kind of muddy.
Okay.
The sand is so thin that it becomes a little bit muddy when there's some sea wake.
Okay, all right. So as soon as you're swimming, you're stirring up the sand, and you can't see the bottom, and so it's good to have the swim shoes.
Most of the time, you are not swimming; you are walking in the sea, because like it doesn't get deep enough to swim.
Okay.
That's why we didn't love so much Lazio. Like it was deep enough, but it was calm and it was beautiful. That's why it was our perfect place.
Okay.
And the people are so lovely over there. And then most of the time, I think they are coming from from Africa. And when you look at on the products, and you know, it's like juices or else, and you can see it's imported from South Africa. The most of the stuff come from South Africa to the Seychelles, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
Oh my God! If you go there, you have to try the local beer.
Sabru.
Its name is Sabru. It's so delicious. Don't try the wine or else, because they don't have and they import the wines. But their local beer, Sabru, they produce in Seychelles also. And it's so delicious, because the weather is too hot. And when it's too hot, you want a really, really, you know, the cold, nice beer over there. So Sabru is one of the finest.
Sabru, okay.
Yes, Sabru.
And one last thing, like when you go to the Sur Sturgeon, which everyone goes in Ladik, in Seychelles, they are not charging you for going to the beach.
Okay.
But like in Sur Sturgeon and on the three beaches that follows it, like when you can go swim, and which is the best place to swim in Ladik. And when you go there, there's a giant rock, granite rock, which they did decide as a national monument, and which they are charging €4 to see that. The thing is, you cannot go to the beaches without seeing the rock. So it's on the way. So they are not charging for the beach, but they are charging for getting on the way to there by seeing the rock. It's a different thing. Like I have the picture of the rock over there, which is the most expensive rock we ever saw, because we were paying €4 each every day to see that rock.
So they're not charging for the beach, but they're charging to see the rock.
Yeah. And you cannot go to the beach without seeing that rock, so they are not charging for the beach, but they are charging for the rock.
So it's just a way of them keeping the rules that they're not charging for the beach and yet still charging for the beach.
Yeah. Actually,
But it's okay, you know, we didn't really, you know, say no, because we enjoy the paying for these beaches, because they are just fishing for the life, and there are some little shops that you can get some souvenirs, and that's all. So we contribute something to the Seychelles.
And it is a lovely rock, too.
Yes, it is. And there are some vanilla plantations around the rock, and you can see also the giant turtles around the rock and the other side of the rock. So, you know, they put the little things around the rocks and make it a little rich.
Funny.
You may do some national park over there.
Yes, national park.
A very small national park. So you have to go to, but like, actually, if, even if they were charging that money, which they are doing to go to the Sur Sargent, it works.
Okay.
It's something else.
So you recommend the snorkeling and the scuba around the Seychelles also?
Yes. We saw, I think, the two places that they are taking you for the scuba diving. And we saw a group, I think, 2 days over. Yeah. And they were just going for the scuba diving. Mm-hmm. We met them at the ice cream shop, Gelateria De Luca? Okay. I don't know French.
Gelateria
De Luca? Italian? Okay. I don't know Italian also. Okay. And, you know, everybody enjoys in Seychelles, trust me.
Like, and the people are very warm and very nice. And, like, nobody bothers you. There is no problem at all. Like, it's some, you are away from everywhere, and you are just having the time of your life.
Yeah, they just, you know, relax and not work hard and just enjoy with the music and the sea. You know, I'm working for the healthcare company for Biash, probably you know. And I was asking if they need a sales representatives in Seychelles.
Seychelles.
You know, I want to go. And they said, no, we are sorry, but we don't have any organization over there. And I was, you know, really want to go. It's a very nice place. And I think they live long, because if you don't have the stress or, you know, that kind of stuff in your life, you can live long. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe you should just move to Seychelles one day when you get retired. What do you think, Kadri?
I will go for a doctor. I will go for a tour around the world.
Okay. It's a good one. It's a good one.
And well, it's well.
Okay, that's great. And I assume you'll send me some links. I'll put them in the show notes for some of the things we talked about, or I'll find them on myself. Well, I really have enjoyed having you both on the show. And again,
much,
congratulations for your wedding and best thank wishes
you.
For your marriage. And thanks for being on the Amateur Traveler.
Thank you for
much,
having
Chris.
Us.
Bye-bye.
In the Internet Resources portion of the show, I have three Internet resources for you. The first one is an article that is a guidelines for producing high-quality photographs for U.S. travel documents. As you may know, when you need to get a passport or an international driver's permit, like I got this morning from AAA, you need to bring 2x2 photos, or you need to pay to have them there. But anybody who has a digital camera and a photo printer can produce their own, as I did. And if you check out the article, links to that in the show notes, then you'll know how to do that. Then I also am putting in two different articles on getting cell phones outside the U.S., whether you should rent a phone, whether you should get a SIM card to go in your current phone, whether your phone, in fact, will work outside the U.S. And they're two different articles, one from Slow Traveler and the other one from the Travel Insider. And check out the links to both of those articles in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. In the community news for this show, I'll tell you that I am not sure that there will be a show every week in the next 2 weeks, because I will be traveling in Europe. If you're interested in more details and where I'll be going to Germany, Switzerland, France, and Italy. For more details, send me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com. While I am gone, the show will celebrate its 2-year anniversary. One way for you to help me celebrate would be go to podcastawards.com and vote for this show as one of your favorite travel podcasts. I did get an email this week from a listener who had a bone to pick with my podcast about southern Spain. I really like the podcast about Andalusia, but I would like to comment on your pronunciation. Obviously, you speak Spanish, as you explain, and I would like to encourage you to use the correct local pronunciation for all foreign place names you mention. You comment correctly on the different pronunciations of Spanish in Andalusia, but you kept calling it Andalusia instead of Andalusia, and Córdoba is Córdoba to you, and Malaga is Malaga. On the other hand, you pronounced Sevilla's Geralda correctly. I'm not trying to be a smartass, but I think you would do your listeners a favor by showing them that place names are pronounced differently than what we might call them in English. My apologies. I happen to listen to a podcast that I enjoy, but the host, every time they mention the state just west of Indiana, says Illinois instead of Illinois, and it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me, and I'm afraid that that's what that podcast was to you. I try and do my best, but you're right. I did say those incorrectly, and my apologies. And with that, we'll wrap this show up. Love to hear from you also, whether it's correcting my pronunciation or giving suggestions for shows or whatever. Send me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com or check out the many other ways to contact me at amateurtraveler.com/contact. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.